Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is across from me, and Mr. Rob Setter is on the other side of the glass, and we're very glad that you have joined us for On the Mark. We are going to talk about Justin Smollett, the man who...
Jussie, I forget.
I don't have it in front of me now. But in any event, yes, he is suspected of perhaps paying the two men who attacked him. So that particular criminal case has got an unusual turn to it. So we have that going on, although I guess it certainly is conceivable that the individuals who now accuse him are in fact lying. So I guess that's a bit of a quandary for
I'm sure it is.
For the police department. They'll have to investigate. Sounds like a time for a polygraph to me. So, and for the whole thing has been suspicious from the get-go. So it's been fairly scrutinized. But we're glad to say, thanks to Joe's good searching of the internet, Cory Booker's weighing in on this and has really the final wisdom everybody will need on this. So we'll have that coming up as our show progresses. So we'll talk about that. The president is very interested in using an emergency declaration to get a segment of the wall built.
Yep. Already done.
So we'll talk about that
done
today.
Deal.
We'll talk about that. And so we're looking at what you have to say about some of these topics. We do have open phones. Feel free to call us immediately and tell us what you've been thinking about, what's been irritating you the most, what made you yell at the radio over the weekend, or maybe yell at WKOK's Facebook page as we posted some of these developments over the past 76 hours. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565, not just random numbers. That's 1-800-795-WKOK. It's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, and it is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. Your hometown pharmacies offer personalized service on a first-name basis. You'll be able to see Terry out at Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Tyler at Trutz, Steve at Norrie, Kathy at Danville, Jennifer at Bloomsburg, Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy. And they are the owners, or at least in charge of the pharmacy at those locations, which means they're highly knowledgeable. They're the smartest people everywhere they go. They're award winners, delivery, drug take-back services, you name it. These are things you can't get at the big box. And believe you me, you get treated better when you go to a hometown pharmacy. Plus, sometimes they get to know your name, and that's worth it, because then they get to know, well, maybe something else you're taking has a negative interaction. So you want to be careful about that kind of thing. So hometown pharmacies offering our toll-free line, so use it. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. Throughout our show, you are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. You want to start out with
Yeah, I went back Mr. because, Smollett. You know, I looked at the letter that we got from E.B. on January the 29th. He said last week,
who's E.B.? E.B. is one of our liberal listeners.
One of our liberal listeners, yes.
Who keeps us up to date on important things.
Right. He said last week, I said that Make America Great Again hats were a symbol of hatred and intolerance and was mocked on the air. Today comes this story of well-known actor Jussie Smollett from the TV show Empire being attacked by homophobic, racist Trump supporters. They beat him, poured bleach on him, and hung a noose around his neck, all while yelling, "This is MAGA country." No, they weren't wearing literal MAGA hats, but they were clearly embracing the Trump ethic. Answer this: if Trump supporters aren't racist, how come things like this keep happening? Or is beating up a black gay man no longer considered a bad thing in the era of Trump? No, wait, let me guess. It was really the black gay man who started it by being black and gay, right? I know how the Trump cult thinks. I said it before and I'll say it again. Trump supporters are bullies and hate mongers. I dare them to prove me wrong. They won't. Well, how do you feel now, EB?
Well, I think this shows that Eby's was right then, and he's right now.
I think what it shows is the same thing happened with Covington, Kentucky, that people on the left are more than willing. It fits their narrative. The Trump people are bad. Anybody wearing, saying anything about MAGA or wearing the Trump hat, they must be evil, vile, vicious bullies, as he puts here, and hate mongers.
So it turns out they're this. Is it okay to you that they're the same, or do you think both sides should stop being so extreme?
I think both sides need to stop.
All right, well, that sounds better.
I think we need to let the facts come in. And it's amazing to me, what's his name, Cory Booker, who originally condemned this and called it a modern-day lynching, is now saying, we should wait till all the facts come out before we make a judgment. I think he's got the cart before the horse. The time to let the facts come out before you make a judgment was late last month when the incident was reported for the first time.
Well, I hope that Mr. Smollett was attacked, as he said, by individuals he didn't expect or know about, because if what is the two brothers are now saying is true, I really think it calls into question comparable incidents. I think hurts the credibility of other individuals. Let's assume for the sake of discussion that Mr. Smollett was attacked, as he claimed.
All right.
This was suspicious from the get-go. I'm not sure I can put my finger on it. Maybe it's just an intuition, or maybe it's just this. You had me at rope, but then you threw in the MAGA hat, and I thought, now, come on.
Well, and pouring bleach. Who runs around the streets of Chicago carrying ropes and bleach? Mm-hmm. And now it turns out from what the police said this morning, they no longer consider him a victim. They're not saying he's a perpetrator, but they don't consider Mr. Smollett a victim anymore. But someone posted a meme, and this is just as bad on the other side. They posted a meme this morning, says, what a great country this is. A black gay man has to go to Nigeria to hire people to harass him.
Well, don't they work on his TV show?
One of them did. One of them, I think, was a personal trainer for Mr. Smollett while he was doing a music video. I think that's one of the stories I saw. But what's fascinating is the liberal media that condemned this immediately. This morning is almost completely silent. I watched Morning Joe. Not a word. I looked at CNN.
Oh, and MSNBC.
Yeah, didn't see a word about it. I checked the website of MSNBC.
Well, CNN
and they
broke
did
the story.
Cover it.
Now, give CNN credit. They broke the story and they ran with it Saturday night, long before anybody else did. In fact, Saturday night, we were hesitant to use it because I wasn't sure. But then CBS carried a link for us to carry with their own person corroborating it. But that was hours later. So CNN liked this story, found it, ran with it. So they may not have said much about it. You know, I mean, after 48 hours of running it and running and running, I don't think you'd see as much on today. This is the first time you
tuned
in.
Well, I think it was today was the day that the police announced that they no longer consider him a victim.
Well, that may be. But CNN was over this all weekend long with their, you know, they'd have panels of people talking about this and that.
What conclusions did they arrive at?
Well, that we need a little bit of an investigation here. And one of the good commentators gave me the idea, well, why don't you just give them all a polygraph? Would that not give you at least some evidence? I know it's not proof nor admissible, but, geez, you know, I wouldn't submit to a polygraph if I was lying. So that would be indicative there.
Well, I think one of the things that was suspicious from the beginning was the neighborhood in which this happened is a very upscale place. And it's very, and you know, there are surveillance cameras all over the place. None of them caught the attack. The only thing the cameras caught were these two men. And I doubt seriously the two black men would be hurling racial epithets at another black man. Do you?
Well, is it MAGA country for everybody? Well, there certainly are black men for whom this is MAGA country.
Oh, yeah.
So
no argument. But Chicago, I would hardly call Illinois MAGA country, and Chicago certainly isn't MAGA country.
Well, I'm sure there must be some. But it's a well-to-do neighborhood, so it's probably full of Republicans.
And then our friend E.B. followed up the next day by saying, here's a question. Why aren't moderate Trump fans coming out and condemning the racist attack on Jussie Smollett and other similar attacks? Why are they so quiet? I think we all need to take a deep breath when this stuff happens and say, let's wait till we hear exactly what did happen. Let the police run their investigation. But it's like Brett Kavanaugh. Oh, immediately, he should be withdrawn. His name should be taken out and get rid of him at once.
Yeah, it turned out she told the truth, but he got in anyway.
And the lieutenant governor of Virginia, no one, you know, the calls for him to resign or step down have quieted down considerably. You know, I just think that, I go back to what I saw, told you I saw last week in George Carlin that he did about consistency. You know, let's be the same way about everything. If we're going to be outraged, let's be outraged about everything. But if we're going to stand back and take a deep breath about one thing, let's do it about everything. And let's give people the benefit of the doubt before we condemn them or are ready to lock them up.
That's not our nature.
No, it's not our nature. Well, it was our nature in this country. At one time, we did believe innocent until proven guilty. Now it's prove yourself innocent, buddy.
Well, there was a time when reporters would get information off the record and they would have it as background. They'd hold on to it until it developed into something factual. But nowadays, the report, anytime a reporter gets just a molecule of a whiff of something that is, you know, leans a story one way or another, they're out with it. They're first. They tweet it. They Facebook it. They go out. Whether it's true or not, I mean, look at the Joe Paterno debacle that caught some other media by surprise when, you know, they said Joe Paterno was dead the night before he actually died.
Well, I must have missed that.
Oh, you were aware at the time.
I must have been at the time.
Onward
so they
State
actually reported his death earlier.
Right,
than
Onward State reported him dead, and then everybody picked up on then Onward State said, oh, nope, scratch that, he's still alive. Joe apparently said, I'm not dead yet. And so everybody had to backtrack. But everybody was carrying and attributing to Onward State rather than anybody saying, well, let's see what the family says or, you know, let the family know what's going on, that kind of thing. All right, well, we have open phones, so we'll take all comers. We'll take a quick break, but if you'd like to address the Jussie Smollett case, which is still under investigation, and no one's charged with anything, just
right,
new people being given opportunity to come forward.
But
here's
the thing. I'm willing to give the guy the benefit of the doubt.
What's you that? Know, who, Jussie?
Yes, let's wait and see what happens. I mean, there could be.
No,
there's already been one twist and turn to this story. It's possible there could be another.
You already suspect that he's lying. 1-800-795-9.
You're reading my mind now, Mark?
I can. After all this time, that's about the only attribute I can say that I've gained as far as continuing education and working with you this long is.
You can read my mind.
Yepper. It's like we're married, you know? 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Your opinion about the latest developments in the Jussie Smollett case. And later we'll be talking about the president's fake emergency, so that'll be coming up shortly here on WDK. Okay.
Sunbury Motors Ford is getting the year off to a fast start. In January, SMC was right on pace to hit their goal of selling 1,000 new Fords in 2019. In February, Sunbury Motors will shift into high gear during its President's Day sales event. Choose from four city blocks of new Fords with savings up to $16,000. Pick from over 60 new Ford F-150 4x4s priced as low as $29,934. Deals on new 2019 Ford Fiestas are in overdrive. SMC has them starting at just $12,820.
And it gets 35 mpgs.
Select from over 45 Ford Escapes, and they're slashed to an amazing price of $17,820. SMC has an incredible deal on a 2018 Ford Fusion, discounted down to $17,770. Sunbury Motors' goal of 1,000 new Fords in 2019 will give all of Central PA the largest discounts on new Fords in recent history. In February, SMC wants to put you into victory lane and become a member of their 1,000 Club of 2019. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan. Mark Lawrence is with us, and on the phone we have Lance. Lance, you're on the mark.
Hey there, everybody. Starting out a fine week. Why? Anyway, this fellow there in Chicago, I think it is that we should tell everything is all in. Nobody makes any kind of a judgment.
I agree.
I mean, that's the whole thing. Got to just sit down there and tell the law enforcement professionals have done their job, and then they will say chapter and verse exactly what happened. Until that happens, nobody should be saying anything.
And they shouldn't have said it in the first place. I mean, what's her name? Nancy Pelosi said it was an affront to human decency. A couple of people said it was a modern-day lynching. Well, Cory Booker said that. And Kamala Harris said that.
It's all right to say
that. Kamala Harris, I'm sorry. But to me, it looks like Kamala. So I'm thinking of Kamala, the princess, married the prince, Prince Charles? No, what's his name? Anyway, yeah. Never mind. All right, Mark's chastising me and rolling his eyes, so go ahead, Lance.
Okay. Now, the next thing is the president's emergency. Now, we had a horrid shooting here on Friday in Aurora, Illinois. Five people killed. Now, every single day, people who shouldn't be here illegally commit that many murders. Now, the one there, we want to like they always say, you know, more gun control. And that fellow there fell through the cracks and shouldn't have had the gun that he had. The laws said he had to have it removed from his possession, and it was not done. But why is, now, that very much noised abroad, you know, over the airwaves, when what goes on every stinking day is not? They say, well, these folks have a lower crime rate. Well, they don't. If there is like 11 million of them here and they commit almost 2,000 murders, we're looking at a murder rate at least three times more than the national average of about five, and they would be over 15.
You're talking about illegal immigrants?
Yes.
Okay.
And yet there's no traction for that. It just seems, I think, we had a national march because of about 150, well, it's about 160 school children who were murdered in school over 27 years.
Yeah.
And yet they allow this many murders to just go on and say what great law-abiding people these folks are.
Well, I don't know whether they're law-abiding or not. I suspect the great majority of them probably are. Because you don't think you'd want to, if I were here in this country illegally, I don't think I'd want to go out of my way to attract the attention of the authorities, would you?
Well, they don't seem to mind murdering.
Well,
at least three times the national average, at least. And then when we look at our federal prisons, we find about, I think it's 22 to 23% of the folks in federal prisons are not American citizens.
Well, and what's disappointing, you know, you can look at your statistics if you wish and use those, or you can use whatever evidence you want to support or oppose the president's message. The real question is this a proper use of the president's emergency powers? And then the second question is, why is it that Republicans and Democrats aren't interested in solving the immigration issue over the decades? You know, this has been nothing that's happening this year. The president has a very keen interest in this, so he's declaring an emergency, and that may be within his powers. But the fact of the matter is that he has no actual support on Capitol Hill that in order to address the illegal immigration topic in this manner, he needs to declare an emergency and to use funds that were already allocated for other things. So the real question is, why aren't Republicans in Congress, in the Senate, why aren't they interested in solving this problem? You know, is it that
why
they...
Why aren't the Democrats?
Well, yeah, that's a valid question, but Republicans tout it as a big deal. You know, Republicans kind of give it lip service and then never do much, although there have been some reforms over the decades from both parties. Cursory reforms, but as Lance will surely tell you, it's done nothing to really stop any flow of individuals coming in or anchor babies or anybody else. You know, so I just think the real question is, why doesn't Washington want this fixed? And now the president came up with, you know, a small way to effect a positive change. And both houses of the Congress say, no, don't do that. That's illegal.
Yeah, that's over the decades. Finally, we have somebody who is trying to do something, at least.
Yes, but stop and look at what he said on his Rose Garden appearance on Friday. He started off by talking about what a wonderful job he's doing on the economy and other areas. And then he says, and by the way, we have an emergency. I could have acted earlier on it, but, we've done some things, and now we're going to do this. So I think he shot himself in the foot. He actually gave his opponents ammunition when he said that he didn't have to do this now.
Well, no, he was going to get the wall built. It would take a while. And,
Well, but even with that, you know, the fact is he may have, you know, probably hurt himself with some of his remarks while he was still wanting Congress to take action. But the fact is he may have this power. He may be using it justifiably and within the power of the law, and this is permissible. And, you know, these are funds that are under the control of the executive branch, and this is completely appropriate. So I just think that, I don't know, it just seems to me strange that nobody else wants to solve this except him, you know, and that even his fellow Republicans in Washington are like, no, don't do this. You know, this is overreach and so on.
But the question is there an emergency at the border? You know, every president in the last few have all said we have a crisis at the border. So what's the difference between a crisis and an emergency? Barack Obama called it a crisis. George Bush called it a crisis.
And did nothing.
And Bill Clinton called it a crisis. All of them did nothing, really, when you come right down to it. This president is trying to do something. So I don't know what the difference is between a crisis and an emergency. You know, is it a matter of semantics, or is there a definitive difference between the two?
Well, what this boils down to is the old axiom, if you're in a hole, stop digging.
Yeah.
And
right.
I mean, that's exactly what we have to do. You have to stop digging somewhere to keep things from really getting a whole lot worse, insofar as the folks we have here that are causing us a tremendous amount of trouble.
Well, sure, it's like the budget deficit. You know, for 30 years, presidents have said, I'm going to stop the deficit spending, but as soon as they get in there, oh, there goes the deficit, you know, another.
That's because you can't hand out things to people unless you spend more money.
Well, that's true. Otherwise, you're a one-term president.
That's right. You got to give them out free stuff. Let them eat cake.
What are they? What did Rick Schock call Vinnie Clausies? The bread circus or something? Bread and circuses or something
bread
like that?
Bread and circuses.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, they'd hand out bread at the circuses. People wouldn't go to the circuses, so they'd hand out bread at them, so people would go to them.
Well, I thought that exactly that they wanted to give them both bread to feed them and circuses to entertain them.
Okay, well, that could be, yeah. All right, well, thank you so much, Lance. Thanks for checking in.
You bet.
We got an open line, 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about the fake emergency declared by the president, and we have Jussie Smollett case kind of cooking in the background, so we'll take more comers. We do have some emails that relate to this one, to the upper one, if you would, please.
A writer says, welcome to the lip party. Not only fake news, but now we have fake racism. Wake up, America.
Okay.
That was a short and sweet one.
Right, about Jussie Smollett, the new lip party. Not only fake news, but now we have fake racism. Wake up, America.
Right, interesting way to spell fake.
1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. We did not call too much attention to, but we can read about it today. The one-year anniversary of the massacre at Stoneman High in Florida was last Thursday on Valentine's Day, so we didn't call much attention to it. But one of our listeners was paying attention to it. I don't. Is this signed? Do you recall?
No, it wasn't.
It's not signed, but but her name is in the first sentence.
Right.
Go right ahead.
She said, this is Susan from Port Treverton. Our family was directly affected by the attack on the Florida High School last year, as my brother lives in Coral Springs, and all three of his children attend the local public school district, and two recently graduated from Stoneman High School. Our nephew even has a brief altercation with the alleged shooter in 2017 in the high school cafeteria. We have been on campus several times over the past few years, but not since February 14th of last year. The question our family has is what clearer thinking Americans can believe that, how clearly thinking Americans can believe that anyone, at least anyone under the age of 21, should have legal access to assault-style firearms. We don't allow those under 21 to make choices about alcohol. Why would we trust them to make any decision about these type of firearms? Is that the end of it? Yes, mm-hmm. It is. Thanks. So, you're the gun nut. Tell me.
Well, I think I don't have any problem with restricting access to these guns. I've never said that having a semi-automatic is an automatic right for somebody who's a juvenile. You know, Senator Toomey and I rarely agree on anything, but we agree on this, that there are some changes to gun laws that we can make that would not only make us safer, but would change the way that we think about these kind of weapons. At the moment, these semi-automatic rifles are used used and commonly sold and held in families in the same regard as any conventional gun, a double-barrel shotgun, or even, you know, a semi-automatic rifle that has a limited amount of ammunition in the magazine. So, but now, because these rifles are so widely available, adults and young people don't think of them as being as deadly as they are because they're commonly there. You know, you might have one leaning in the corner of the kitchen, just like years ago you might have a shotgun leaning in the corner of a kitchen if you live in a rural area and you might occasionally use it. So I think our listeners on to a type of a change in gun laws that might help, restricting access for young people. Mm-hmm. We certainly restrict access for young people for everything else because we know they're not mature. A lot of states where they legalize marijuana say young people can't use it. You know, that there is an age restriction. I think it's either 18 or 21. But so we have long decided that young people can't handle certain types of adult activities or substances or toys. This could easily be one. I don't have any problem with that. And I think semi-automatic rifles of this type should be subject to some additional scrutiny. I don't want to restrict them. I don't think they should be put up there with automatic rifles, but it's not a conventional weapon. It's not a hunting rifle. Not everybody, it's not a target rifle.
Not everybody follows the rules. That's the problem.
Well, that
you have all the rules in place to stop it, but not everybody follows them.
Well, maybe we should enforce some of our existing rules. Thank you, Stan, for I'll beat you to it. Don't text us that. Enforce our existing rules, exclamation point.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is across from me. And Mr. Rob Santer is on the other side of the glass for me. And Mr. Matt Cotrillo is in the newsroom. And so we have open phones today. We're talking about the Jussie Smollett case. One of our listeners suggests that individuals under the age of 21 be restricted from having access to semi-automatic rifles like the one that was used in Florida about 1 year ago. So we'll take all opinions about that. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. And On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. That's a family-owned dealership since 1915, two locations, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury, where they specialize in all types of service, state inspections, alignments. They'll pump you up with nitrogen, and they have a car wash there and a body shop and hundreds of vehicles for sale. You can check out everything that they've got to sell at sunburymotors.com. Check out their online specials, Build a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to your precise specification. And they got a master towing service with all kinds of services for all kinds of vehicles. And they would just love to take good care of you at the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. We do have some brief news headlines. Another Snyder County Republican has thrown his hat into the ring for the 12th District seat in the U.S. Congress. Former Snyder County Commissioner Malcolm Dirk, who ran for Congress in 2010, announced Saturday he hopes to fill the unexpired term of the former Congressman Tom Marino. Dirk joined Snyder County resident and current State House member Fred Keller in seeking the Republican nomination in the May 21st special election. Marino resigned earlier this year, saying he was taking a position in private business and later said health reasons were a factor in stepping down. Another Snyder County resident has put his name in the running for county commissioner. Joseph Fear of Beavertown has announced his candidacy on the Republican ticket. He previously served on the Beavertown Borough Council, says he's dedicated to increase increasing industrial employment locally, especially so there are jobs for graduating high school and college students. Fear also says he wants to emphasize tourism to enhance the local economy and increase police presence throughout the county. This week is Pennsylvania Highway Safety Law Awareness Week. With that, Valley Law Enforcement is highlighting certain road safety laws that motorists should pay attention to. One of the laws highlighted this year is tougher penalties for habitual DUI offenders or individuals committing three or four DUIs over the past 10 years.
Between the spring of 2016 through his arrest in the fall of 2017, Noah Hendricks was at the center of a drug distribution ring.
Mike Piazza, the Snyder County DA, said, talking about a separate case there, but said it's important that individuals pay close attention to the laws related to these particular topics. So it is important that highway safety laws be followed, and we'll have more about that posted at WDKOK.com. And finally, in case you have not heard, hundreds of Penn State students raised $10.6 million over the weekend for the pediatric cancer patients. It's the annual 46-hour dance marathon known as Thon. The total was announced Sunday afternoon at the conclusion of the officially called Penn State Interfraternity Council Penn Hellenic Dance Marathon, billed as the world's largest student-run philanthropy. Money goes to the Four Diamonds Funds, which directly assists many people at Penn State Milton Hershey Medical Center. Cancer survivors were among those participating in the thon or standing by as hundreds of people were in support roles, keeping those dancers going 46 hours.
Wow. I have trouble standing up for 46 minutes.
Well, that goes with age. These young people are pretty tough.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
Sure, sure.
They don't call me Grandpa for nothing.
Yeah, Papa. Come on. Nobody calls you Grandpa around here.
No, that's
except
true.
Except me. But that doesn't count.
So, where are we?
1-800-795-9565 is our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line. We started out talking about the Jussie Smollett case, where you have an individual who is has gone from victim in the eyes of Chicago police to person of interest, and he may be precisely the victim he said he was. I think it's certainly possible that the individuals
say person of interest. I thought they said that they just no longer considered him a victim.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think they said he was a person of interest. You may be. Fake news.
Well, no, this is what we do in the news business. If we can't find any news, we just make it up. So I think that was part of the New York Times slogan, right? All the news that's fit to print, unless we can't find some, in
we
which
lost
case,
Jim.
We'll make it up.
We had a caller.
Call back Jim, 1-800-795-9565. So we have the Jussie Smollett case kind of simmering there. We also have a case where the president says we got a real emergency. Most people say it's a fake emergency.
What do you say?
But even so,
you think it's a fake emergency?
No, I think it's worth looking into to see whether we have what could be called an emergency. And I have doubts that the courts will turn it around. I think presidents are given wide leeway to use money that's given to the various branches of the executive branch, like the military, and so that's the president's. So I think you could make an argument. I'm not convinced there's a genuine emergency, but that may not actually be the factor. Is the president in the right in allocating the money? And I, like a lot of people, say, well, maybe he has that right, that this is within. Certainly other presidents, I'm not going to say, oh, President Clinton did that, so look what he did. But other presidents had much thinner ice on which they based their emergencies with far less pushback. So maybe this is within his purview. He wants to get this done. And I really dislike most of what President Trump does in terms of his actions. Of course, you and I both agree that his personal morals are reprehensible. But nonetheless,
I don't know about his morals. I think some of his actions are reprehensible.
Well, and his words and actions and so on. But anyway, as it relates to being president, there's got to be something that he can do about this if Congress won't act, even if it isn't an emergency, even if it's just an initiative. So we'll see what the courts say.
Every president we've had, the last four or five, have all said we have problems with the illegal people coming
in. It's a crisis.
Right. It's a crisis. So why not do something about it? Why not solve it?
Officially did nothing to solve it.
Well, they decried it. They came on and said, we need to do something about this. But then when the time came to put the rubber to the road, they couldn't come up with the will or the desire or the votes to do it.
Well, I think 11 million people in the U.S., as Lance mentioned, there is a downside. Some of those individuals commit crimes, but the vast majority, vast majority of them are law-abiding citizens. Many of them are, I mean, aside from the fact that they're here illegally, which makes them not law-abiding citizens, but if you dismiss that one violation, maybe they are law-abiding. Now, we know quite a few are contributing, some of whom are contributing to taxes and, you know, have fake IDs so that they can get jobs in the, you know, conventional jobs.
So now they've committed two crimes.
Well, that's
they're
right.
They're illegally and they have a fake ID.
Once your premise is illegal, then you might as well go all the way. But in any event, so then they submit Social Security payments like everybody else, which they'll never be able to draw on. Well, I guess at least they keep the sham going and they, you know, are able to do so. But I think, you know, I don't know. I just think once you have 11 million people in the country illegally, it's hard to say that all of a sudden, oh my gosh, it's an emergency. This is a crisis.
Well, I don't think the problem is
clearly
the 11
we have a
million
trend.
Who are here. It's those who are coming across the border and who are starting caravans to come across. You know, I don't think the wall is the only solution. I agree in principle with a lot of what the Democrats are saying that, you know, we have to do more than just build a wall. But, you know, my problem with the Democrats is they're saying a wall is no part of the solution. I believe it's part of the solution.
But didn't they give them like $1.6 billion in that
last... For fencing, they called it.
Okay.
For fencing.
Well, okay, wall, fencing, what's the difference?
Well, there's a big difference between a wall and a fence, in my opinion.
Okay.
I have a fence...
What if they both keep people out?
Well, a fence would be harder to keep people out. A wall...
impossible.
It sounds
you can't tunnel
more,
under it. Can't go around it.
It sounds more formidable. Let's say we're building a fence down here.
So we got to pay $4 billion. So it sounds good.
No, I'm just saying. I don't know that a fence could ever keep people out the way a wall can.
Hmm.
Well, but, I mean, it's part of the solution.
You see a lot of pictures of people climbing over the fencing material, and some that's almost like a. It appears to be sort of a method of commuting.
Well, there was a story on the news this morning that they found a section of the wall, I think, near McAllen, Texas, where people had run a car or a truck into it to make a gap in it, broke the wall, and then came in that way.
Okay.
So, I mean, the fact that we have this antiquated old wall, you know, is
or
bad.
Fencing.
Yeah, well, it's bad.
Whatever.
It needs to be replaced. It needs to be updated.
But nobody wants to do anything except... Donald Trump. He's the only one. Everybody else is like, yeah, just let it go. We'll just keep on doing like we're doing.
I guarantee you if this was Barack Obama saying this, there would be the people on the left would just be falling right in behind him saying, yes, we need to do this. Let's get it done. But Donald Trump is reviled and hated by the Democrats, and perhaps for good reason. and they just cannot accept anything the man says as being worthwhile or useful.
I'm sure some things that he says are accepted.
You know, and then you have this morning on the news, or
he
yesterday,
wanted to pull out of Syria. A lot of people agreed with that.
Yeah, well, did you see the news, the 60 Minutes interview with Andrew McCabe last night?
I did
night?
Not. Nope,
okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, basically he's saying that Rod Rosenstein was serious when he offered to wear a wire into the White House and try and get evidence that the president could be expelled from office on the grounds of the 25th Amendment?
Right. Right, that he's crazy.
Well, or that he's incapacitated. You don't have to be crazy. You have to be incapacitated.
Okay.
Craziness could be part of the incapacitation, I suspect.
Well, for this president, it wouldn't exactly... Anyway,
tell
moving
me the
on.
Difference between that and a coup, an attempted coup.
Well, it sounds like a slow-motion coup to me.
Slow motion. I think they were, you know.
Well, I think of a coup with guns and military type takeover. This would be much slower.
Well, I mean, the 25th Amendment wasn't designed to start with the FBI. It was designed to start with the vice president and the cabinet, not the FBI. You know, and then everybody says, well, then he also came back and said that he thought the president might have committed obstruction of justice in the firing of Jim Comey. But, you know, even the Democrats were calling for Jim Comey to be fired before when he released the fact that he was going to look into the tablet or the computer of Mr. Weiner, you know, and when he said there were possibly emails on there that violated national security interests. You know, the Democrats were all ready to string him up by the...
All right, 1-800. I'll stop you there.
Yeah, stop me there.
1-800-795-9565 on the topic of immigration. Please read the top checked.
All right, Mark, what laws can citizens break and not face consequences for? Yet we're supposed to give the illegals a pass, build the wall high, and build it now.
Well, and I look... Stan, I'm not in a disagreement. I'm just saying, you know, this is what they say, the barn, you close the door after the cows.
The horse is gone.
We have 11 million individuals in the U.S., almost none of whom would have been stopped by the wall. So, but I think if somehow we could come up with an agreement that illegal immigration or individuals who cross the border illegally is a bad thing, the president is the only individual in Washington who feels that way. So what does that tell you? That he's wrong? Well, he could be the only sane one there. You know, could be everybody else is crazy and doesn't want to solve it. But, you know, I just think the lack of will on the part of Congress to take any action is telling. We'll take more comers here. One of the texts received relates to AR-15s. Another one relates to Rick Schock's comments about bread and circuses. So we'll read those because folks were kind enough to send them. And we have some that relate to tax cuts and the new Green Deal, which we talked about on Friday, but we have open phones, so we'll take all comers. Call us now. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Is it a fake emergency? I say yes, but I'm not necessarily saying that the president is all wrong in wanting to stop illegal immigration. I'm just saying there's no emergency. That does not truly exist. But to that end, should we build the wall? Okay, so let's say it's
not an
emergency.
Have you been there? Do you know that it's not an
emergency? No, I do not know. I rely on the folks in Texas.
Left-wing media, that's what you rely on.
No, I rely on folks in Texas to tell us what's going on. So send us an email from Texas or give us a call from there.
We need to hear from Larry G.
Yes, we do. Thank you. I couldn't think of his name. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. Is it a fake emergency?
Hometown pharmacies. Every season, every day.
Hi, this is Brad from Lewisburg Pharmacy, and I'm proud to be part of the Hometown Pharmacy family. Everyone's busy nowadays, and sometimes you just run out of time to get the things done. Things like calling the doctor's office to get refills for your prescriptions, and even picking up your prescriptions once they're filled. No worries. Lewisburg Pharmacy's here to help. No matter where you have your prescriptions filled now, Lewisburg Pharmacy can transfer your prescriptions for you. You won't have to lift a finger. We'll fill your prescriptions and even deliver them to you. What makes Lewisburg Pharmacy and all the Hometown Pharmacies great? It's the personalized service we give each and every customer every day.
Now that's the way it should be. The hometown feel we all want, but seems hard to find. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, do so much more than the big box stores. Every season, every day.
Hometown pharmacies in Mifflinburg, Northumberland, Bloomsburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, Danville, and the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg, making a local difference every season, every day.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, 1-800-795-9565 is the open phone. 1-800-795-9565. We talked about Jussie Smollett. We talked about the Florida shooting and why individuals under the age of 21 are permitted to use semi-automatic weapons and to possess the AR-style guns that are, I don't know, what do you want to call them, military-style guns or whatever. AR is a specific brand name of one particular gun. But now everybody's under the AR umbrella. And primarily today we're talking about the border wall. The president says in its emergency, of course it isn't. It's less of an emergency than it was in previous generations. But the president is interested in using his emergency powers to do so. I've said publicly I'm not quite sure that that's wrong of the president to do so. I think we will have to see what the courts say about it. And I paid attention to all the debating over the weekend. I know that immigration is down and illegal drugs coming over from non-entry points is down, so it's hard to support the fact there's an emergency. But that doesn't the law in the U.S. doesn't really require there to be a widespread fire type, you know, visible emergency. President Bush and President Clinton both used the emergency powers about clear and present dangers. Now, counting against the president is the fact that Congress has said no to this money for this purpose.
Well, we have two callers who might want to weigh in on this topic.
Dan, you're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was called in about now it's getting out in the mainstream media more the attempted coup going on since the beginning or before the beginning of President Trump's presidency. You know, there's been many books written about the attempted coup, but here's an example of the mainstream media burying the story underneath. And the network that a lot of people hate on this program is the only one that was talking about the attempted coup of the president from the beginning. I mentioned the names. The people, a lot of people think they're bad reporters, don't report truth. The Sean Hannity had that on a long time about an attempted coup with a lot of his guests. One of the main ones was Greg Jarrett, who I have the book right here in my hand, read the book, The Russian Hoax. They protected Hillary Clinton and tried to frame Donald Trump into getting him out of office by the upper echelon of the Justice Department. After the citizens of the United States elected a president, the Justice Department thought they knew better than Joe Citizen of the United States. And nobody's too excited about it, you know, because of the hatred of the president. But just suppose this was reversed. Suppose it was Donald Trump trying to set up the Justice Department not to allow a liberal to be elected president. You'd hear crying all over the country. But because it was a hated Trump, they bury it. They don't. Last night was the first I heard any liberal news organization talk about the attempted coup. But a lot of us have been talking about it for 2 years. So you better wake up, America. You know, you're the person you like could be the next one in the Justice Department don't like. They could have a coup on them. And, you know, this has been going on for 3 years, and no one talks about it, very little. And but yet your so-called right-wing media, so-called, they just bring out the truth about this attempted coup on the president, which is a real shame and a disgrace. Even if you hate Trump, there's a higher thing being broken, a higher ethics, that the Justice Department don't have no right to coup a president of the United States.
All right.
It's not your lower FBI agents. It's not the man on the boots on the street or the shoe on the street. It was the upper echelon
that was interested in that, right? Well, that's what McCabe talks about, sure.
And Trump had the right to fire. He has the right to fire any of them. But Comey, he deserved to be fired. He was called out to be fired. And by the, I can't think of the guy's name now, that's part of this coup. He
Rod even Rosenstein?
Called him out to fire this guy, Comey, and he did. So, okay. You know, it's great that a little bit of it's coming out. The real hoax is the Hillary Clinton machine paying for the fake dossier that they leaked false information in order to get to President Trump. That's the real problem.
All right. We got
you. All right, guys.
Thank you so much for calling, Dan.
Have a good one.
Glad to hear from you.
Take care, Dan.
Chris, you're next up on the mark.
It was a real dossier that was mostly accurate.
And generated by whom initially? Who was the first generator of said dossier?
Hillary.
It was a Republican, something Washington Beacon Republican organization, I believe.
Okay.
I can't quite remember exactly who it was. But, no, it's proved remarkably accurate. And it was given as things that were possible that we're varying degrees of credibility and estimated the degrees of credibility of the various things. And, of course, the one that got the most publicity, the prostitutes in the hotel, was listed as less credible than the others.
Okay.
But anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
Joe keeps mentioning Kavanaugh and the Covington students. The Covington students acted pretty silly, but that's about the only thing they did, but they didn't really act very well.
And of course, the Native American did, and the black Israelites, they were just models of virtue, right?
Well, the black Israelites weren't even in the initial films that came out, so of course no judgment could be made about them at the time, could they?
No, but then when they pulled the camera back and you saw the whole picture, it was entirely different, right?
No, not entirely different. You also saw the tomahawks going in and the high school kids acting like silly high school kids because this Indian had approached them.
So, in other words, it's still
doing
the kid's fault.
Songs.
It's still the fault of the guy in the MAGA hat, right?
I didn't. What was the fault of the guy?
Everything.
In the, MAGA hat?
The kid wearing the MAGA hat. Everything was his fault, right?
I didn't say anything was his fault except that they acted silly.
Right, but I don't hear you condemning the actions of the Native American who got in their face or of the.
The bishop of the school, when he announced his change of position, said that the Native American was acting to calm the waters too.
But it wasn't obvious.
And there is no evidence that he was doing other than that.
But you could have drawn that conclusion just the same way.
Well, why did you just accuse him of that?
The same way people drew a conclusion that the kids were wrong. You could have drawn a conclusion
the
Native American was wrong.
No, that wasn't the same way you said it now. After the fact, you said that I wouldn't condemn the Native for doing anything, didn't you?
How about the black Israelites? They're the ones who were cursing and swearing.
Doing what the black Israelites always do, acting a little crazy. But that's your excuse for Trump. Well, he just acts crazy, isn't it?
Well, now you're changing the subject.
Well, I wanted to do that. And if you want to look at I was expecting you to use what the Native did the next day as evidence on your side.
What?
Coming
out in saying what
the
he said,
church.
The interviews? Yeah, okay.
The thing he did in the church the next day.
Right, going into the Mass at the National Cathedral.
Or trying to. I don't think he successfully entered.
No, he did. He tried.
Oh, he got in.
He tried to get in, but they kept him out.
Well, trying to, yes. They kept him out. But if you want to do, if you wanted to play games like that, I had one about the Covington students dressing in blackface for their basketball games.
Well, my problem isn't that, Chris. I mean, there's plenty to condemn. Let me finish. There's plenty to condemn. I'm not going to argue that with you on both sides.
But
my problem
the
is that people know.
The optics were strange, and you know the kid who was in the Native's face there.
I think the Native was in his face. He didn't walk up to the Native. The Native American walked up to him.
The kids were just standing there.
They walked up to each other.
No, not the one in the video I saw, and that Mark didn't see that either.
No, in the video that you can see that the students are just standing their ground.
The students, all the other students were 10 feet behind the kid who was in the face, right?
The Native American walked up to the kids.
He actually moved, and he said he moved, and he said he inserted himself in between him and the other students in order to protect the Native American. Well, if he was doing it to protect the Native American, he was protecting him from his fellow students. So he must have thought the Native American was under threat.
All right, so the bottom line
with
the students.
That's what he actually said.
The bottom line with the students from Covington, what?
But what I really, well, they acted silly, that's all.
Okay, so they were convicted of silliness.
But about Kavanaugh, which you always are bringing up, he wasn't asked to be removed from his position. He was trying to get the highest position in the court.
No, they were saying his name should be withdrawn.
Testimony by the one woman, and he was obviously lying about his drinking to Congress.
Well, how about the credible testimony against the lieutenant governor of Virginia? Is that less credible?
I think the fact that he probably either selected, he either selected that picture for his yearbook, or he was one of the two people in it.
No, the lieutenant governor.
Oh, the lieutenant governor. When it first came out, it was no women were named or had come forward. A couple days later, one had, and then a couple days after that, another one had. And that becomes much more credible at the moment, yes.
So what should be done about him?
What should be done about him? Well, I guess if he's denying it, the only thing you do is to have the investigation. And if they're... Right?
Right, and if the investigation doesn't turn up anything one way or the other?
Then you're kind of stuck, aren't you?
Same way with Kavanaugh. You have the denial, the accusation.
No, but giving him for keeping him in his current job, you're stuck, but not for promoting him to the highest office in the land for a lifetime appointment.
So if Northam resigns, that's exactly what you're doing with the lieutenant governor.
No, it's not a lifetime appointment, number
one. Doesn't matter.
Number two, there's an election coming up.
You'll be happy we got one email. Yeah,
one of our writers says, Mike says, being liberal is never having to say you're sorry or wrong.
I never called up and accused the Covington kids of anything in particular, did I? So why should I be saying I was sorry or wrong?
Well, because you blamed them. You assumed you knew the facts at the time.
Wait. No. What did I say? I never called up about them.
You sure about that?
About the Covington kids?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did. You were all over this.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, you were. You were rushed to judgment. You tweeted out on the day it happened.
I think you're rushing to judgment. Oh, I've never tweeted in my life.
Maybe you should start.
Now we'll get you started. All right, we'll give you the last word. Go right ahead, Chris. Anything to add? We got a lot of emails.
There. He's not hearing you. You get the last word, Chris.
And the fake news thing I'd like to say is, you remember when Trump was running for office, all the Department of Labor statistics were fake. When he got in office, the exact same reports are proof of how wonderful he's doing, correctly the same way. When he says fake news, he just means something he doesn't like, not that something isn't true.
Right.
And that's how he uses it, and that's the difference between real news and fake news, and a real newspaper and a fake newspaper, and a lying president and a non-lying president.
All right, we got you.
They accept the facts. Trump never accepts the facts, and he never gets full criticism from it, especially from Joe.
All right, we'll take more comers. Thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate the call.
Wait a minute.
Well, you can respond.
Okay.
When we come back. 1-800-795-9565. We got lots of emails coming in, so we'll read those in just one text. So Stan is idle at the moment. He must be busy. 1-800-795-9565 is our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com.
Sunbury Motors Ford is getting the year off to a fast start. In January, SMC was right on pace to hit their goal of selling 1,000 new Fords in 2019. In February, Sunbury Motors will shift into high gear during its President's Day sales event. Choose from four city blocks of new Fords with savings up to $16,000. Pack from over 60 new Ford F-150 4x4s priced as low as $29,934. Deals on new 2019 Ford Fiestas are in overdrive. SMC has them starting at just $12,820.
And it gets 35 mpgs.
Select from over 45 Ford Escapes, and they're slashed to an amazing price of $17,820. SMC has an incredible deal on a 2018 Ford Fusion, discounted down to $17,770. Sunbury Motors' goal of 1,000 new Fords in 2019 will give all of Central PA the largest discounts on new Fords in recent history. In February, SMC wants to put you into victory lane and become a member of their 1,000 Club of 2019. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Okay, welcome back to On the Mark. MB says those students in Washington, D.C. being harassed were waiting for their bus to leave. They had to endure that treatment. And they were waiting for their bus to leave. Right. True that.
We have open phones, 1-800-795-9565. If you want to attack Joe, feel free to do so now. I'm going to dismiss him just a little bit early at the end of the show so he can get started on a road trip. But we will have open phones throughout the period. And I got a couple of emails to read and a couple of texts. So we'll be getting to all those in the moments ahead. But we got about 17 minutes left in the show. We'll take all comers, 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Joseph, you are on the mark.
Oh, thank you, Mark, for taking my call. I hope I can have a little time here. I'd like to comment on the immigration situation, for one thing, and on the COVID and children, too, for another. But anyway, my wife, she immigrated here from Vietnam. She had to pay hundreds of dollars to get go through all the paperwork. And believe me, it's a really a hassle. And then she took studied to become a citizen, you know. And after so long, she became a citizen. And I'll tell you, the test, I don't think a lot of American citizens could pass that test. But anyway, and these people come in illegally, and they're against the law. They've broken the law. And this isn't right. And what I wanted to comment on, too.
Well, let me stop you right there real quick with just a quick remark. There's only one person who wants to stop that right now. That's all. And that's all. My only it's not even a comeback or a rebuttal. It's just that what you said is 100% true. You know, that's the least fair aspect of individuals in the U.S. illegally is they're not screened and, you know, vetted and tested and all that like individuals who get in here the right way are. But there's just one person in Washington who wants to stop that.
You're right. And another thing, they wanted to give my wife welfare while she was still, you know, before she became a citizen and all that. And she would not accept it. She worked, and she's a worker, and she worked and at a sweatshop, you know, and she was self-sufficient. She didn't rely upon the government. And a lot of these people come over and they're giving them money. They're illegal, and they're giving them money. If you come in from Cuba, they give you cash money, you know, until you get settled or something, and you're not even legal. But anyway, at the border, when President Trump was talking the other day about the executive order, you know, the emergency, and Jim Acosta stood up and said, "What would you say to your opponents who disagree with you that it's an emergency?" And, you know, President Trump gives some figures out of how many came across illegally or something and were caught. And then Jim Acosta come back and said, "Them figures aren't right." And they back and forth about the figures. You know what I mean? And who knows who's right? I think Jim was right in a lot of things because President Trump does exaggerate a lot. And he lies a lot about things like that. And he gets caught still, and he shouldn't do that. But my point is simply this. He should have, what I would have said to Jim was, "Okay, Jim, maybe my figures are off here, but let me ask you. You're saying 40,000, I'm saying 80,000. Let's just say it's 40,000 came in illegally. Is that okay? Is that okay?" You know, we have these mothers here of children and husbands that have been murdered by illegal aliens that come in here, and you know what I'm saying? How many is okay with you, you know? And if they go around the fence, like you said, oh, they'll just go around the fence and come in. Well, then the fence stopped them until they got to a place where there was no fence. So do we need a fence? And another thing, how do they know, they say all these drugs come in through ports of entry, and they catch a lot. That's true, through the ports of entry. But if they don't catch them coming in from places that doesn't have a fence and isn't guarded, and they come in, how do they know how many doesn't come in, and illegal aliens that come in illegally, and they don't catch? How do they know how many of them there are? It could be a vast number. No one knows.
Well, and the other aspect of this, you know, if you're talking about the illegal importation of drugs, there's the real issue is there's a vast market for it in the U.S. You know,
right.
we don't attack that.
We should, though.
If it wouldn't be a market, there would be no problem.
That's true. But, you know, you look at the president, and you're right. He does exaggerate, and he does, I hate to say lie, let's say misremembers elements of.
No, he just makes it up. But in any event, but that's like his prerogative.
But it hurts his credibility, and I think it makes it harder for those of us who think he's doing some right things to
Absolutely,
get behind
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Well, I think the border wall is a perfect example of that. You know, I think you can make a strong case without exaggerations or made-up figures or just using the existing statistics that relate to individuals. Right. You know, they say the number of people sneaking over the border is much smaller than it used to be. Well, there's still thousands of people.
Right, exactly.
It's not hundreds of thousands anymore, but it's still thousands.
Well, I think the president is much better when he sticks to the teleprompter. and he doesn't do that enough. I mean, the simple fact is he's one hand, he's saying how things have improved at the border since he became president, and then saying that what's left is an emergency.
I want to change the subject
okay,
here.
Okay, go ahead.
The Covington children, you know what I mean? You know, I watched that, and I seen this Native American come up and beat the drum very close to this young man, and the young man didn't say a word. He just stood there. And I think that to what I got, I would be threatened by this guy beating a drum on my face. You know what I mean? Maybe it was a war drum, that kind of thing.
Well, supposedly
a prayer
drum.
If he wanted to calm the situation down, he didn't say one word. If I were to calm a situation down, I would have walked up to the young man or the young boys there, and I said, hey, just don't pay no attention to these black whatever they were, Israelites or whoever they say they were. And just, you know, turn your back and just don't pay no attention. Don't interact with them, you know what I mean? I'd have done something to calm the city. But that beating on the drum didn't calm anything down.
Well,
and
let me step one sentence again, is the boy said he had heard that chanting was a prayer, so he knew that little bit about it. He didn't know what the words were or anything, but that's what he was told.
Well,
you know, that was a prayerful sort of a chant type thing.
But anyway, when I seen Savannah Guthrie on NBC News interview that young lad, she was very tough on him. But when she interviewed that Native American, she was just so apologetic and didn't you feel threatened? And I don't know if you've seen both interviews, but if you did and you compared them, it was.
I didn't see the interview,
exactly,
but I saw
what the mainstream media does.
Right. Okay.
You know? And it's no exaggeration. And I listen to Fox News and I listen to CNN. And I always go back and forth because I want to see what's going on. And CNN has a lot of facts, too. You know what I mean? But I see the flavor on both of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. All right. Well, we got to skedoodle here.
And that's the only way you can judge a situation. You've got to listen to both sides of the story objectively. And then you can give a proper interpretation of what's going on and have a little understanding. You know what I mean?
Yep, we got you. Thank you so much for calling in. I really, really, really appreciate it. All right, we got to take a quick break. We've got emails, callers, and texts to do here. So we're going to start right now. We will be right back.
Sunbury Motors Ford is getting the year off to a fast start. In January, SMC was right on pace to hit their goal of selling 1,000 new Fords in 2019. In February, Sunbury Motors will shift into high gear during its President's Day sales event. Choose from four city blocks of new Fords with savings up to $16,000. Pick from over 60 new Ford F-150 4x4s priced as low as $29,934. Deals on new 2019 Ford Fiestas are in overdrive. SMC has them starting at just $12,820.
And it gets 35 MPGs.
Select from over 45 Ford Escapes, and they're slashed to an amazing price of $17,820. SMC has an incredible deal on a 2018 Ford Fusion, discounted down to $17,770. Sunbury Motors' goal of 1,000 new Fords in 2019 will give all of Central PA the largest discounts on new Fords in recent history. In February, SMC wants to put you into victory lane and become a member of their 1,000 Club of 2019. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
And welcome back to KOK News Time. It is now 9:54. Mark Lawrence here on the Mark. We got a caller standing by. We got texts and emails aplenty. So we'll go right to the phones. Harry, you're on the Mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm betwixt and between on the wall. I do believe that there are more issues than Washington believes there is, because if anybody in Washington told me my name, I'd look for my birth certificate just to double check. Anyhow, I don't trust anything they tell me. I believe that there are some drugs coming in. I don't know that there's as many as there were. I do believe that that it's been proven that people with tuberculosis and with some diseases that we don't see anymore in our country are coming in. So in that case, I can see why a wall would be necessary. But there's two other things that strike me with that. One is, I like to believe that there's more things that with immediate needs that we need to do in this country that $5 billion would help. You know, infrastructure, for example, things like that. And the other thing is, I think it's a lot like the gun laws. If we don't enforce the immigration laws that we have now, what is building a wall going to help with that anyhow? People still find a way to get in, and we don't stop anything. So, you know, I don't know that it's an emergency. I don't know that anybody's right, who's right and who's wrong there. But boy, before you spend that kind of money, don't you think we should have everybody on the same page if that's possible?
Well, you never will get that because there's no agreement in Washington, D.C. that there is even a dilemma to deal with. You know, these tiny incremental measures that we've taken over the decades to fix the illegal immigration problem. Apparently it isn't even an illegal immigration problem. Nobody has the will to fix it.
But, you know, it's funny, too, and I sometimes think, and this is going to sound frivolous, but hear me out with it, too. I mean, if you think about it, there's a sliver of logic in this that you could make through. The one thing, there was a caller earlier who said about, you know, we punish everybody who commits crimes otherwise, but we don't do anything with the illegal immigrants. And it strikes me that if I was a lawyer, I believe I would file a class action lawsuit for anybody in prison right now because they're in there unfairly. If we don't punish all crimes, we shouldn't punish their crime. You know, and I think you have to look at it with some, I'm being somewhat frivolous there, but the idea is if one crime is worth being punished, if crime is worth being punished, then let's punish all crimes. And I think that's, until we have some semblance of whether this is a crime or not a crime in the official viewpoint of our so-called leaders, then it doesn't matter whether you build a wall or don't build a wall.
Well, and I think we do have the consensus of the nation's leaders in Congress and in the Senate. That's that it's not a problem. You know, half of Congress has been there for 20 years and has done nothing. You know, the presidents come and go and do nothing. So clearly there's no problem. There certainly isn't a crisis or an emergency. That still doesn't mean that the president can't use his emergency powers, but he's the sole interest in Washington that's interested in fixing this.
Which is sad.
Well, either that or you or I just don't get it. We need somebody to explain to us why immigration with 11